Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I want to give my message this morning a title, which may seem like a very strange title, but it's this: what's happened to Joe? What's happened to Joe? Now, in some ways, we've heard already this morning, haven't we? Joe has told us his story. And if we were to pick some of the language from this little portion of the Bible that we've opened together, we might pick language like, well, he's believed Jesus. You notice that? There was a contrast between a group of people who did not believe Jesus and a group of people who did believe Jesus. The sheep and not his sheep. Or we could say that Joe has heard the voice of Jesus, he's listened to him, and he's followed. That's right, that's another way we could describe, isn't it, what's happened to Joe. We could say that Joe has become one of Jesus' sheep, which is kind of an insulting phrase in some ways. Sheep are very stupid animals. But actually, it's a very good picture of what people are like. Sheep need a shepherd. And Joe has become one of Jesus' sheep, looked after by Jesus. That's what we could say about Joe. What's happened to Joe? We could let Joe tell his story. But this morning, just for our time together, what I want to do now is hand the microphone over to the Lord Jesus. And I want to let Jesus tell us what he has done for Joe. Look at verse 28 with me. Jesus speaking, he speaks of his sheep and he says, "I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands." This isn't just what Jesus does for Joe, but this is what the Lord Jesus does and gives to everyone who belongs to him. It's three things that the Lord Jesus does. Three things that we need to hear this morning. If you're here and you already belong to the Lord Jesus, these are three things that you and me need to take hold of with all our heart this morning. And there are three things, if you're not here as a follower, that can be yours if you trust Jesus. If you do a Job, listen to his voice and follow him. So thing number one. You ready? You think you should pop it on the screen for me? This is what Jesus has done for Joe. Jesus gives us the best life. Thing number one, he gives us the best life. Mr. Kipling makes cakes. And he doesn't just make any cakes, he makes... Exactly, he makes exceedingly good cakes. Mr. Kipling claims to make cakes that are better than any other cake you can buy. That's his claim. Exceedingly good cakes. Now, in a similar way, the Lord Jesus gives to believers, to those who belong to him, something that exceeds, outweighs, exceedingly better than anything else that you can have in this world. Look again at verse 28. I give them eternal life. Now, what is that? What is this eternal life? Well, I want to describe it this morning as life with God, or life restored to God. Jesus describes this life, if you look back on the page previous, in chapter 10, verse 10, he says that this is life and life to the full. This is exceedingly good life. Life with God. Now in John's Gospel, this word life is not to be confused with existence. So let me try and make this clear. All of us in this room exist. And it's not even about existing forever, because all of us in this room will exist forever. You will live and you will move and you will have a heartbeat. Now this term life in John's Gospel captures something much bigger than just your heart beating. Life in John's Gospel is about life with God, in relationship with God. Let me just read you, over the couple of pages, you don't need to turn there, John 17 verse 3, Jesus describes eternal life. He says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." That is eternal life, being known by God and knowing God. One man puts it like this: eternal life is not so much just lasting forever, but it's a personal relationship with the one who does last forever. That's life. This is the life that if you track back in the Bible, Adam and Eve enjoyed in the garden. Life with God. Walking with God in the garden, talking with God, and they enjoyed this being known by God and knowing God personally as they dwelt in the Garden of Eden. But it was life that tragically ended in the Garden of Eden. This life with God ended. The Lord said to them that if you eat from the tree from which I command you not to, you will surely die. Now, they didn't die physically straight away, but that's because he was talking about this sort of life. They were suddenly in life without God as they were expelled from the garden. Life with God was cut off. They were eternally dead, not eternally alive. And in Jesus, friends, please hear this, in Jesus, life as we were made to have it is restored. Life with God. Eternal life, if you look back at John 10:28, eternal life there is literally translated, and it's like this in some English, older English translations, life of the age to come. Now, and I just chew on that for a moment. For those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus, we have been given life that belongs to the world to come. A relationship with God that last starts now and lasts forever. That means if you belong to the Lord Jesus, you have the relationship with God right here, right now, that you will also enjoy with him in heaven. Isn't that amazing? You are restored to life. Well, restoration to life with God is a taste of the age to come. We enjoy now in part, but the life is the same. Our relationship with God is the same as it is in the age to come. Friends, this is exceedingly good life. Forget exceedingly good cakes. Now, Mr. Kipling, sorry, any of you are going to think I'm obsessed with cake, which is actually true, but we won't go there. Mr. Kipling has a less well-known advertising campaign. Does anyone know what it is? He says this, it's on all of his adverts for a while. Life is best with cake. Amen? Yeah, it is in my world. Life is best with cake. That was his advertising campaign. He said if you have his exceedingly good cakes, then life is best. Now we may not agree with Mr. Kipling, but actually do you know what? We do spend a lot of our time trying to finish that sentence with other things, don't we? Life is best with a relationship. Life is best with good set of exam results so I can get a good job. Life is best with something to do in the days. Life is best, dot, dot, dot. Whatever you put in that gap, that's what we pursue, isn't it? But Jesus says no. The best life is the life that he gives. It is the life restored with God. And Jesus alone can give you what exceeds everything else. And when we leave here today, when we finish eating together and we go and we return to whatever we do in the week, when you pursue the kind of the Monday mayhem, get back into the Monday mayhem of chasing the best life, Christian, will you believe that you've already got what is best? Will you go out this week and think, I don't need to pursue anything else to say the best life is when I have cake or when I have a job, because I have the best life, because I've been restored to my God. Christian, do you believe that? Does what you chase, what you pursue, show that you really believe that what you have through the Lord Jesus is the best thing in the world? What's happened to Job? What's happened to any of us who belong to the Lord Jesus? Jesus gives us the best life. And notice that it's a gift. Did you notice that? Look at verse 28. I give them the best life, eternal life. Joe didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. None of you earned it. We didn't merit it. We didn't work hard to get it. It is a gift. John 5 says that Jesus has this life in himself and it is his to give to us. The Lord Jesus came to the cross to endure eternal death. In that moment as he hung there, he took my eternal death so that in its place he could give me eternal life. I give them eternal life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen?
Amen?
You either sit here with that life or you don't. That's the reality. I give them eternal life. Thing number two. Jesus takes away the fear of hell. Over the last couple of years, I've been getting to know a man who got himself into some pretty big trouble and was waiting for the verdict from a court case. And as I met with this guy most weeks, looming over him was this terrifying day when they would decide whether he was guilty or not guilty, when they would decide whether he would go to prison or whether he would go free. And actually living that close to a man who was waiting constantly for a verdict showed me what a terrifying thing it can be. But actually in a similar way, looming over humanity, looming over you and me, is a day of judgment. And it's a day when the Lord Jesus will call all of us to account for the way that we have treated God our Maker. And it's a day that Jesus speaks about in verse 28. But it's a day that the Lord Jesus says, for those who belong to him, it holds no fear. No fear of the verdict that will be given. See, look at verse 28. Jesus says to them, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This word perish in John's Gospel refers actually to hell. It refers to judgment. And friends, if I don't speak about that subject, then I'm not doing justice to why Jesus came. He came. Think about John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in John's Gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not go to hell, will not be condemned, but will have eternal life. To perish is what each of us deserves. To perish, to be condemned, is what by nature I deserve. It's the destination that much, even of my current behavior, even as someone who belongs to Jesus, deserves. But in the Lord Jesus, this perishing is taken away. At the cross, what was happening? The Lord Jesus perished in my place. He tasted of hell in my place. So that to those who will listen to his voice and believe him, he can turn to someone like me and say, you will never perish. You will not face hell. You will not face the judgment that you deserve. My little Zebulun, lots of you will know him, little boy wanders around, blonde hair, you'll see him. But at the moment, he's learning to talk. And one of the things that he does at the moment is he seems to say no twice when he's serious about something. No, no, daddy. He says, no, no, daddy. That's what he keeps saying to me. So if I try and tickle him, no, no, daddy. Two no's. Now, in the original language, can I tell you what Jesus says? No, no, perish. Okay, he's not like my Zebby, but in the original language, they put two no's together for seriousness. This is never going to happen. No, no, perish, Jesus says. He is that serious about this. He is that certain about it. No, no, perish. You will not happen. Friends, hell is something to be feared. Do you believe that? It's a dreadful thing. But as Jesus gives us the best life, eternal life, life restored to God, he takes away the fear of hell. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus says to us, no, no, perish. And I wonder this morning, is that a truth that some of us need to be reminded of? If you're like me, you carry around with you the weight of past sins. And just occasionally they come to mind and you're like, oh, you know, I'm not so sure anymore where I'm going. Can God really love someone who did those things? Maybe you keep falling into a certain temptation and you can't seem to progress in it and put it to death. And you're caused to doubt. Is my eternal destiny really secure? We sang it earlier, didn't we? When Satan tempts me to despair. Can you identify with that experience? When he tempts you to despair and tells you of your guilt within, tuts in your ear, Jesus, you've professed faith and you do all those things. When he tempts you to despair, what are we to do? Upward we look and see him there who says to us, no, no, perish. The one who made an end to all my sin. No guilt in life, no fear in death. That is the power of Christ in me. Our confidence that we won't face hell is not in our performance. And friends, if your reliance is on your performance that you won't face hell, you are ruined. But our confidence is in this promise of Jesus. That those who belong to him will no perish. Never perish. Certainly not perish. When am I tempted to most fear hell? When my eyes are off Jesus and they're on myself. And my guess is it's the same for you. What's happened to Job? What's happened to any of us who belong to the Lord Jesus? Jesus says to us today, he takes away the fear of hell. And number three, Jesus gives us or provides 24/7 protection. We had some friends around a week on Friday ago, and they very kindly bought a bag of sweets for our children. And on the Saturday, I ripped open this bag. I didn't have any myself, and that's self-righteous. I didn't have any, but I opened this bag, and I gave some, particularly to my Levi. You know, he loves his sweets. And he popped a couple in his mouth, and then he put one in his hand, and he shut it. And actually, we got in the car, and we drove somewhere. We got out the car, and his hand was still shut. We then proceeded to walk around the shops, and his hand was still shut. And at one point, I went down to hold his hand, and it was a clenched fist. And so I said, oh, you know, Levi, you know, hold my hand. So I was like, well, why? What's in there? Sweet, like this, my sweet, like this. And so I started to have fun, and I tried to poke it out the sides, and he wasn't letting go. It was his sweet in his hand, and no one was going to have it. And if you know my Levi, you'll know that that's very true. But you know what, friends? That's the picture we have of the Lord Jesus in verse 28. Look at what he says to those who belong to him. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Where are you this morning? In some ways, we could say, well, we're sitting in this rather warm building, Silver Street Community Church. In some ways, we could say that we're in Edmonton. But in another way, if you belong to the Lord Jesus, where are you today? You're in the hand of Jesus. Firmly in the hand of our Saviour. And it's all true. It's true. But for those who belong to Jesus, there we are, sitting in the palm of his hand, his sheep. And that is good news. And do you know why that's good news, friends? Because these verses allude to the fact that there are many who will try and snatch you out of Jesus' hands. John 10, the bit we didn't read, talks about enemies without. Enemies outside of ourselves. There is the devil. Our enemy, the devil, it says in the book of James, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He wants us to perish. He doesn't want you to have life with God. He wants you to go to hell. His tactics are varied. His tactics are many. John 10 talks about thieves and robbers, maybe false teachers. There are those who will teach you what is false about the Lord Jesus, and they are trying to snatch you out of his hands, to take you in the wrong direction. And we all know the reality, don't we, that there are relationships that we can be in that pull us away and draw us away. You're not convinced of that? Think of King Solomon. He had 700 and something wives, and it said they led his heart astray because he didn't pick people who loved the Lord. We can be led astray, snatched away, as it were, by wrong relationships. And hear this promise this morning. If you are someone sitting here and you feel the breath of the enemy, whoever that is, whatever that is on your neck, you need to hear this promise of Jesus that no one will snatch you out of Jesus' hand. As those who belong to him, we listen to him, we follow him, and as we do so, no one will snatch us out of his hands. All those who believe Jesus and listen to him will not be robbed of eternal life. You will know no perish because Jesus has a firm grip on you. Is that a truth you need to be reminded of this morning? Are you battling with something today? Rub that truth into your heart. Tell that truth to your soul. No one will snatch me from the hand of Jesus. And you're not just safe from the enemies that are outside of us. But as I've reflected and prayed through this passage for preaching it this morning, do you know what the greatest enemy is? It's the enemy within, isn't it? We use an expression, you're your own worst enemy. I don't know if anyone's ever said that to anyone. You're your own worst enemy. But you know what, as I go on, I worked out, partly because we're celebrating what Jesus has done for Joe today, but I worked out that I've been a believer in our Lord Jesus for 27 years. And as I go on in my Christian life, do you know what, I discover this to be more and more true. That I am my own worst enemy. My sinful heart, my doubts, my lures being pulled away. But actually the glorious protection of Jesus means that I'm safe even from myself. Isn't that amazing? You know, no one will snatch you from the hands of Jesus, even if that no one is me. That's incredible. One writer puts it like this: with 24/7 protection from Jesus, youth with all its passion, kids with all that being young holds, teenagers with all that being teenagers involves, its passions, you shall pass through it safely. Middle age, I don't know what category that's in. I'm getting in trouble for age ranges here, aren't I? But middle age, with all its whirls of business, as this older writer puts it, with all its busyness of just doing life, shall be navigated safely. Old age, with its infirmities and fears and death's glooming veil, shall be passed in safety. Friends, when you feel like you are your own worst enemy, like you are going to be your own downfall, remember where you are, in the hands of Jesus. And I want you to visualize that for a moment. Can you do that? I know this is going to be a bit weird for some of you, but imagine, there you are. Okay, here we are, we're standing, and look around you, we're standing on a hand. Now look down at your feet. What are you standing on? What are you standing on? You're standing on a scar. Because the hands of Jesus are scarred hands. And they are scars, the shout of his victory. They are scars, the shout of his forgiveness for our sins. They are scars that assure us of his protection. And that is the scar you are standing on. The ultimate security for Jesus' sheep is not in you, but it's in the Lord Jesus, who protects those who belong to him. Romans says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Sheep are vulnerable animals. And a sheep without a shepherd is in big trouble. But a sheep with a shepherd is in a safe place. Three promises of Jesus. What has happened to Job? This is what Jesus has done for Job. He's given him eternal life. He's taken away his fear of hell. And he's given him 24/7 protection. What has happened to you if you are a believer? What has the Lord Jesus given for you? These wonderful three things. And friends, this week, these are promises of Jesus. Promises that we need to cling tightly to as you go out into the world and you seek to follow him, to listen to his voice. And if you are here today and as yet you think, "I don't have those things." If you are here and you think, "Do you know what? I'd love some of that action. I'd love some of that exceedingly good life." Then actually you need to become one of his flock. You need to listen to the voice of Jesus, believe him, and let him give you eternal life. The person who, from a deep sense of sin, runs to Jesus, flees to him for help, is the one that Jesus can look at. Look at verse 28. It's the one he can look at and say, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands." Amen?
Amen?
Let's bow our heads and pray together. Our Father in heaven, some of us who've been hanging around churches for a long time will remember singing an old hymn that talks about standing on the promises of you, God, our Saviour. And Father, as a group of believers here, we want, please, to be those who take our stand on these glorious promises of Jesus today. We thank you for the safety that we have by trusting in Jesus. We thank you for the joy that we have in being given eternal life, restored to you, God, our Maker. Father, we are sorry for the times where we take our eyes off of Jesus and put them on ourselves. Teach us, Lord, to fear you. Teach us obedience. Teach us to trust these great promises as we progress on this week. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, we're going to stand.